first of all. In chapter 1, God is giving this revelation to mankind, all men, but particularly to his church, particularly to the seven churches that have characterized the church age, which we're still part of. As a matter of fact, we're not only part of that age, we're part of the Philadelphia church, which began when Martin Luther, 500 years ago, he posted the 95 Theses, and that started a revolution. And that's the only church of the seven churches that Jesus does not find a sin, no sin. So we're part of the Philadelphia church. That's because we believe in chair 4, 5, and 6. We believe it's a process, not a one-time event. You start out by being born again, and then you're a believer, and that's your salvation to come. But it's a process. So therefore, after you're born again, born of the Spirit, you're a spiritual person, you're a new creation. After that, then you must be trained or taught how to be like Christ. And being taught or trained, when a disciple is fully taught, you will be like the Master. Now, this is not your work, it's God's work. He's the one that saved you. He's also the one that sanctifies you. And he's also the one that glorifies you. As you're fully taught, you'll be like the Master. And that's the one he's coming back for. That's your bridegroom come to marry you as his bride. So that's number 4 on the board up there. These are the things that are yet to come. Number 4 has to be preceded by the tribulation, the greatest tribulation that this world has ever known, and there'll never be one like it. So the greatest tribulation has been saved to the last by God, and you will meet then your bridegroom, bridegroom, coming down from heaven, and you will meet him in the air. In other words, you will not be here any longer, forever, forever. So you will meet him in the air as he's coming down, the trumpet sounds, and you know when the trumpet sounds, you receive your new body and your new soul, and immediately then, you're able now to live in the air. You meet the Lord in the air, and you will remain there forever. So the Lord in the air means in the heavens. And so you'll be in the lower heavens, close to earth, and something will take place during that time. Jesus will then deliver you from the enemy that has held you, and he delivers you from that place, even though you're in a place of refuge. He'll deliver you from that so that you're no longer in any way attached to this world because you're a lover. As a lover, that's called Philadelphia Church, that's the sixth church. As a lover of God, you will not go through the great tribulation. As a lover of God, because you went from chair 4 to chair 5, which is a chair of chastening or discipline or instruction or God teaching you all the ways of living in heaven. And so then when you're done, you'll be like a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing to mar his beauty, to mar his love for you, and you'll be one forever. So he's coming back to meet us, to take us up to heaven and marry us there. And as he then marries us, you will never leave him again, ever, ever, ever. So the enemy then is thrown down, both the beast and the false prophet, and Satan. However, Satan has a special holding tank in Hades that they both go down all the way to the lake of fire and will never be again let loose. But he is actually in the bottomless pit, and that's where the last conspiracy ends, when they cannot build the Tower of Babel, when they cannot build what Nimrod started so many years ago when civilization first began. And Abraham came after Nimrod. Shem was still alive at that time. And when that happens, then you will see the Lord and realize, this is all I've been looking for, to be right with God. Peace with God does not mean peace on earth, like everyone will be at peace. What it means is you'll be at peace with God because your problem was not people. Your problem was not yourselves. Your problem was not even your sin. Your problem with God is that there is no problem, and that he's always loved you and he will always continue to love you. So peace with God is prior to every other form of peace. Every other form of peace will happen because peace on earth, where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and the end of the law, then are those last six commandments where you love your neighbor as yourself, and then there's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So that's already happening with us, because we're going from chair 4, being born again, to chair 5, being disciplined, to chair 6, so that you're part of God as a lover. In other words, you love because he first loved you when you were sinning. He loved you while you were yet sinners, forgave that. Now he's perfecting you, and when you're ready, you'll be a lover, that he'll come back for that bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. Jew and Gentile. Why will the Jews be there? Many Jews today we've prayed for, and those prayers have been answered, but it was saved to the last of time. And the last thing that she'll go through is this great tribulation. But those who are already Christian now, who are Jewish people who are already Christian, and there's an immense host of them that will be part of the first resurrection, will be the first fruits of Jesus' first fruits resurrection from out of the realm of the dead. Jesus died, but he rose again. You'll die, you'll rise again. And your death is really your faith. Your faith is really your death. If you have faith in Jesus, you're already a new creation. If you have faith, not that you're good, not that you're perfect, not that you don't sin, but that Jesus Christ cannot lie, that he's told the truth. It's written in the Bible. You don't have to look otherwise. Just read the Bible. Read every day. Every day read. If you do not read, you will not grow. You can't just go to first grade or kindergarten or whatever and then assume you're a mature adult. You won't be an adult till you reach chair 6. So in chair 6, that's when you're a lover, because you love other men and you don't have a second agenda. You're not also loving yourself. You're loving other men because God has renewed you through that teaching process till you learn of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So it's a gift. So the rest that of God is something that he just gives to you immediately. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not yours, his. His righteousness is your righteousness. When he does that, you'll be immediately then ready for the Lord's return. And then you will ascend into heaven, as I said, in number 4. You'll be ascending into heaven, get married. He delivers you from the enemy, and that enemy cannot hold you because you're holy. And even after 1,000 years, number five up there is after the tribulation and after the destruction of the harlot, the whore of Babylon. You don't know who that is, but I'll read about it in a little while in chapter 17. That whore of Babylon will be judged, and in 1 hour, she's completely finished. After that, there's an economic collapse in the world. Suddenly, her value was not just spiritual, even though she was a harlot. She belonged to God, but she turned away from God. She apostatized. She gave up the faith and joined the world, church and state combined. That's the Satan's biggest deceit. That's how he deceives you. The mystery of iniquity is he deceives you into thinking there isn't a devil, or if there is, we're Christians, so we'll be all right. Not if you're just in chair 4 or even 5. You have to be in chair 6 when he comes back. And so all of this is all predicted. It's something you don't know about because I haven't preached on it ever. I'm now teaching on it because the time has come and God has spoken to me. The time has come to now make clear everything in the book of Revelation, which means the whole Bible, because the whole Bible is in the book of Revelation. What began in the Garden of Eden is now completed in the book of Revelation, which is all future. Everything after Jesus comes back again, all of that is brand new to you. You've never seen it before. You've never been in that place before. First coming, he was our Savior, killed. Then he rose again from the dead so that he could live in you and change you into his likeness. So now the second coming, he's coming to deliver you from all evil. Ever and ever, there will never again be anyone that will rule the earth. It will all be righteous people who are then part of God's kingdom. So it's not like the flood that 8 people were saved out of it in the sense that those 8 people began the new creation, but that's a physical new. This one is a spiritual new because you are not only baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is chair 5 and 6, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire is that which burns up all the dross in you, all of the part of this world that's in you still. How many know as Christians you still sin? You're still anxious, you're still nervous, you're still judgmental, and so on and so forth. Don't worry about that. That's God's work. God began this work. He created you. Then he then redeemed you. Now he's now perfecting you until you're completely perfect so that you are a bride that when that trumpet sounds, you'll get your new body and your new soul, and immediately you'll go up into heaven and so on. So everything after that, including when Satan is released, he's the only one that's released out of the Confederacy. There's a Confederacy between the church, the false church, and then the Muslims, which are now messing with us, and also the Jewish people, who are all going to make a covenant of people that are false, of people that are not right. And it's being done right now before your very eyes. You don't even realize it, but it's being done right now. These three will make a covenant together, and they'll conspire against the Lord and his anointed. That's actually the city that has 3 parts to it: Satan, false prophet, and the beast himself, or the Antichrist. Those three, having thrown off the harlot, the whore of Babylon, 1 hour's time, they will now experience the Lord's judgment because he comes back for judgment. You're not prepared for that. You may not even be part of it. I pray that none of you are part of it. And that's why I want to teach you now how to be Christ-like. Please read your Bible every day. I know there are days when you're busy. It's okay. It's forgivable. But keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. If you don't, you won't grow. You cannot grow from Sunday sermons. You cannot grow even from house churches. You have to grow because you have your own journey with God where it's personal for you alone, not just your family, but for you personally. Is that you are purified so that there's no sin when he comes back and he'll see that there's no sin in you. And because of that, you're part of the Philadelphia church that began when Martin Luther started the Reformation. No sin is found in that church until 1836. In 1836, I'm not going to explain it, I just state it, something happened. James Madison died in 1835, and the next year, 1836, Texas was born. You have no idea what that means, but that might be part of the place you'll stay during the, it may be many other places, but that's one of the places that you will stay. God provides a way for his bride to keep herself ready for the Lord's return. If those days had not been shortened, you would not make it. Oh Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? You cannot stand against the devil and the false prophet and Satan himself. You cannot stand against them. You have to have protection from the Lord who whisks you away from all of that and sets you alongside of himself. And forever and ever, you will never leave Jesus. He will never leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. So now let's turn to the first few verses of chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses. A revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, you need to know this, otherwise there won't be good news, which gave to him to show to his slaves. That word in the Greek is doulos. It's different than the word servant. It's different than the word child and children and so on. This word is slaves. When you're born again, you're not a slave. You're born again to be a slave. You're born again because he forgives you all your sins, but he leaves the sins on you, so you're still a slave of sin. That's why you have to die daily. Every day you have to die to your sins so there are no more left when he comes back. Anyway, that dying daily is your hope of heaven. This is not taught in most churches. In fact, they run away from this kind of teaching. They don't want to hear that you have sin in your life as a Christian and you need to get all of that out. Why now? Because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit plus the baptism of fire, which then drives out. This is not your doing, it's God's doing. He'll drive out all that sin until you don't have anger and lust and bitterness and all those things that beset us so easily. This is not your work. It's something strictly that God does on his own because God is the only actor in the world. You are not an actor. You are a reactor, but you are not an actor. Your husband then is the actor, that is Jesus Christ himself is going to be your husband. You're not now the bride. You haven't yet been married. You are betrothed to him, but you're not yet a bride. You've been set aside. So I'm teaching you things that you've never heard before, even though you've seen them in the scriptures. I'm explaining to you how this is going to all sort out. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who's now, isn't this interesting that he's looking for sin in all the seven churches? So Ephesus, Smyrna, you know, Pergamos and so on, all these Thyatira and Sardis, and then Philadelphia and then Laodicea. All these churches have sins except the one. That is the Philadelphia church, which he found no sin in it because they returned us to faith in Jesus Christ. And the Roman Catholic Church still teaches today that you must also be faith and works. Even though they've not denied that Martin Luther was a good Catholic, not a bad Catholic. They agree to that. But he's what they now call a separated brethren. He's a brother, but he's a separated brother because he hasn't yet joined the Roman Catholic Church. They're still into that. They believe that they're the true church. They're the false church. I don't want to dwell on this. I'm just simply to say they're completely false. Does that mean every Catholic is false? No, it doesn't. Those that have faith in Jesus Christ, they are born again. But if they have faith in the water or sprinkling and all that kind of stuff that they've promoted all these years so that Rome seems to never change, it changes all the time. Because it's always wiggling, it's always moving away from the Lord. It's apostate church. But there are Protestants also that are apostate who hear the gospel, believe on Jesus, but then they don't grow after 5 and 6. They don't grow to those because they stay at 4 and fall back into 1 or 2. one or two, are you're an open sinner or you're a legalist. Either of those two will disqualify you from being a bride ready and spotless for the groom coming back. So this is good news for you who are ready to be a slave like John was. And he signifies through this slave things which must occur quickly. That means the next thing on God's agenda. He never forgets this final picture. This is your final picture of everything that happened from the first coming to the second coming, 1 to 4. Everything, and you haven't even seen 3. You're still in Laodicea. Right now, the church is lukewarm. The Protestant church is lukewarm. Catholic church is lukewarm. All Christians today have sold out. They are not following Jesus except for those that are hot, that are ready for the Lord's return. And that's what I want to, that's my mission, is to help you. I can't help you personally. I can only help you by telling you the truth. And he signified by sending through his angel to his slave, John, who testified of the word of God and the witness of Jesus Christ, even as many things he saw. Now listen carefully. Blessed is the one reading. There are 3 blessings here. Blessed is the one reading the scriptures, reading the Rhema of God. So you're blessed just by reading the scriptures. You don't have to read them to get anything. You don't need a revelation. Just read it. Just simply read it. You can do this by an act of will. You can do this without faith. You just read it. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God, just by reading it. And so it's important to listen to messages and sermons and so on, but they also will not save you, even though there are salvations that take place. It's because you have your own journey with God, is I want to be righteous. If you do not, you don't want to go this way. So if you do not want to live in a way that lying is gone and being anxious is gone and all those sins that are in us that do not bear witness to Jesus, you don't want to hear this. So blessed are those who read. Second of all, blessed are those who believe what they read. You cannot do that. You can read it and even understand it in grammar, but yet not be a Christian until God reveals himself to you personally. It's a personal relationship with the living God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So as you read those words as a believer, now you're in chair 4, as you read those as a word, born again believer, only God can do this. He will suddenly open your eyes. The scales will fall from your eyes and you suddenly realize, wow, my whole life is God. All this stuff that we're doing here doesn't count. Man at his best state, even the best man you can think of, is altogether vanity. In other words, whatever you've done religiously, you're being nice, you're being friendly, and so on and so forth, it doesn't count because God didn't do it. If God didn't do it, if he isn't your righteousness, you're relying on something, my own goodness. You're trying to establish your own goodness in the face of God. That's the one thing he doesn't want you to do. Let it be. Don't read it to get something. Get born again. Get anything. Just read it. That these are the words of life. And the last one is, and those hearing the words of this prophecy and keeping. So, read, or when you read, someone else can read to you. A parent can read to you. Parents do this all the time. You read to children, the children's Bibles or books about the Bible, some, and they begin to have faith, and they're little kids, but they begin to have faith in Jesus. They don't argue with it because you're reading it to them as something important, as something valuable. Children follow their parents, and so you can have it read to you as well as read, but eventually as you grow up, you need to read it yourself so that the faith comes and you realize this is not just my parents baptizing me when I was an infant or whatever. This is me now confirming that in my own life, I've heard from Jesus. our youngest daughter, you know, all this happened to all my kids, they all got saved. But the youngest daughter always knew what I said, Margaret. And she always knew what I said was true. She always knew if Dad says it, it's true. But she couldn't defend it if somebody asked you, well, what do you believe? Because it wasn't personal with her. And when she went to Uganda last time, suddenly something happened about 5:30 in the morning. She come and knocked on my door and woke me up and said, Dad. And she named some scripture, which I had no idea what the scripture was. But she had suddenly, do you know that scripture? I didn't know what it was. So tell it to me. And so she said, God spoke to me. Now I know what you've been teaching all these years. I finally understand it. And now I can answer because God spoke to me. And she just began rattling off. And it's like, wow, that even blessed me because that was a question I had also. So it was like, wow. So that happened to David. It happened to, you know, to Kirsten and Cara. They had a new relationship to God. I mean, they still call, Dad, explain this scripture to me. I have a neighbor who's a Catholic, and they want to know about this. Or I have a neighbor who's sick or whatever. And they know, you have to know this Bible, this Word of God. Read, and then believe, and then keep. Now, chapter 17. Now you know the good news. For the joy that's set before you, you endure the cross. Chapter 17. I'm going to read this without explanation because I don't want to explain it to you today. Not because I don't know it. It's because there's so much to it, and I want you to read the whole chapter with me. And one of the seven angels, having the seven bowls, came and spoke to me, saying to me, come. I will show you the judgment of the great harlot sitting on the many waters. Now, waters in Scripture, small comment, waters in Scripture mean peoples. So this is an international institution. This is not just simply some local church. This is an international body of Christians. Now, listen very carefully because I'm not going to explain to you what I'm reading to you. I want you to know that this person is ancient. This person is not modern or medieval. This one is ancient, goes way back. With whom the kings of the earth commit fornication. So this woman, this judgment of the great harlot, married to someone but sleeping with someone else, this one is committing fornication with the world. In other words, church and state are united. In other words, religion, which is strictly ecclesiastical, and then kingship are being joined together under the king. It's called Erastianism, which means the church is free only under the beast. It's only under the politicians. And King Henry VIII is the first one that we know did it, and he did it because the Pope did it, so he wanted to be the king of England. And every king since then has tried this out to see what happens when the government completely controls the church. And you have to have a 501c3 federal. You have to have state incorporation. You have to become a creature of the state. Now you acknowledge the state as your Lord. Jesus is no longer Lord of the church. And you also have to have a local tax exemption on your property. You're not allowed to use property and so on and so forth without permission and without filling out forms and rendering your property as well. So all of those things are benefits of the world. They are evil, all of them. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the ones inhabiting the earth became drunk from the wine of her, the harlot's, fornication. And he carried me away into a desert by the Spirit, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, so a red dragon. Now the devil has many names. He's the devil, he's Satan, he's Lucifer, He has lots of names. He is the evil one, and so on and so forth, dozens of names. But particularly, he is now pointing out that this is a red scarlet that the beast, this beast system of seven kings with 10 horns. Remember those words. 7 kings of 10 horns. The first one, Egypt. The second one, Assyria. That's before they went into exile. Then the next one, 3, is also the king of Babylon. So the king of Babylon also takes, all of these took Israel. They were slaves in Egypt. Then they were slaves of the Assyrians. And that's the northern 10 tribes were driven away and never returned. We don't know where they are. They're all over the world. They're doing DNA to try to test out if you have Jewish blood in you and so on and so forth. But then the southern tribe never learned their lesson, and they did not repent themselves. And God said to you, you're a harlot. You're following your sister into harlotry, and you're now joining church with state. You're turning to the Egyptians. You're turning to the Assyrians. You're turning to the Babylonians. You're turning to everybody but me. And that is fornication. It's spiritual fornication on the church's part, which is a religious function, and now it's being used under the political power. You see, our president today is speaking, I wish he'd speak more on it. He's speaking about freeing the churches from the state. He's not speaking that specifically, but I'm going to speak that specifically to him and to everyone, because the church needs to be under Jesus Christ and not under permission of men. You don't have to say, Mother, may I? So these seven kingdoms are kingdoms of the world that all take world dominion. They are emperors. They are emperors of the world, and these are the only seven that are named in Scripture, so the only ones that count. So Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, that's 5, and then Rome, 6, 7, and 8, which is 666. And the last one, the 8th one, is the devil himself. So Satan himself, when the false prophet in number 3 up here, these false prophet, when Jesus comes back, he'll deal with them, send them straight into the lake of fire. They'll never come out. They'll be there forever and ever and ever. And then Satan is not sent that way. He saved Satan off because this was a beast system that joined with Muslims and joined with the church and joined with Jewish people. A covenant that will not last. A covenant that already the beast system comes out of that. The false prophet comes out of that. And so also the apostate church comes out of that. All of those have conspired together. You've never heard this before. I'm telling you for the first time. You've never heard what's going to happen. And you don't want to be part of it. You don't want to be part of any of this. That's why he has a special place for you to go if you're holy, if you're not just simply relying on your baptism as your only sign that you're a Christian. And he carried me away into a desert, and I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast. This was Satan himself, the ancient dragon, filled with the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads, I just explained them to you, and 10 horns. And by the way, it won't be anyone else. You don't see China here. You don't see India and so on. They're part of the whole deal, but they're not the leaders. These are the leaders that I just said. The beast, he comes out of a certain place. We know exactly where he comes from. He also, there are 3 nations subdued before he's able to mount up, because the ten numbered the 10. Those were 10 nations that gathered together and gave all their power to the beast, the first beast rising out of the sea. The second beast is the one that says signs and wonders. So this combination, which you are seeing right now, I'm not explaining it to you in detail at all. I'm just telling you about it because when this all happens, you'll realize this is already past history. It's something that's already taken place. It hasn't yet taken place. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet. In other words, this harlot, this whore, is now sleeping with someone else, sleeping with the kings of the earth, fornicating with kings. And the woman now has purple on her. She's now royal and scarlet. And so these signs are indicating how she's being blessed with their 501c3, with her tax exemption on your property and so on and so forth. You don't need any of these. These things are not part of the Bible. You didn't ask Jesus about these things. They're something you took because they were thrust upon you, and every church does it. So it's not like some churches don't cooperate. But you will see in the near future, churches will not cooperate because they realize they're part of the beast system. And the beast is alive now, no doubt. And soon some of these things are going to happen. So I'm giving you a history lesson because history is his story. That's God's story. And we're the only ones that know this because we're the only ones reading the Bible. And other people that read it with blindness on their eyes. They still read it as behave yourself. No, it's not behave yourself. God behaves for you. God is your righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. You never will have it, not for all eternity. You'll never be righteous except in relationship to the living God. And you have to be his wife. You'll have to be his adopted and born and married wife. And precious stones, gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominations and unclean things of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name having been written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abominations of the earth. So her title is, this woman, whoever she is, don't worry about it right now, whoever this woman is, it's a religious institution that has full power, and he is Satan's son. It's like Satan, you're of your father the devil, by the way, Jesus said to people. You're of your father the devil, because you still believe you can be righteous apart from God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot. God has established this in such a way that you cannot be righteous apart from God. You cannot be holy apart from God. You have to have God not only doing it in you and through you. It has to be his righteousness. It cannot be yours. You have to be a branch in a vine that bears the fruit. And therefore, they don't thank you. They thank the Lord God in heaven. That fruit which you bore, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those fruits of the Spirit, they all come from Jesus himself. Again, you have heard me preach on it, but you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm now explaining what I'm talking about without detail. And on her head was written these words, Mystery Babylon. Why is it a mystery? Why is it a mystery? I just explained to you the mystery is that the church will be part of it, the Muslims will be part of it, and the other nations will be ancillary. They will not be the main characters of this. But also there'll be the king of the north, there'll be also people in the south who are all brought into this. It's throughout your Bible. If you read your Bible, you could come then with questions, and I would answer those questions, but I can't. You haven't even read your Bible to know all of this is in the Old Testament throughout, all the way from beginning to end. This is the Tower of Babel being reestablished. This time, the pyramid will be finished. So, the beast thinks. So, Satan thinks, because he wants to be God. And he will announce himself, not as Antichrist, but as the biggest Antichrist of all, because these are his creations. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is an exact opposite of that. He is anti all that God plans and all that God purposes for you. You know why Satan is bad? Because he doesn't like you being married to Jesus and you're just dirt people. You're just made out of dirt. You're just dirt people. He wants to be God. And so Satan is the fallen angel that wants to be the one that says, I am God, and sit in the temple and then rule over the earth. He's been thrown out of heaven when he fell a long time ago. But he's now still trying to finish that Tower of Babel, which will never, ever, ever be finished. And I saw the woman being drunk from the blood of the saints, this woman, this harlot, and from the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. Those two things, the blood of the saints and the blood, second thing, of the witnesses of Jesus. And I marveled seeing her. I'm not explaining that. I'm just saying it. And I marveled seeing her with a great marveling. And the angel said to me, John, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast supporting her, the one having the seven heads and the 10 horns. Kings. Those ten king nations, he had to subdue three of them. Which you saw and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss. They all come from the abyss. And goes to perdition. And those dwelling on the earth will marvel. And ones whose names, none of this has happened, have not been written on the scroll of life, book of life, the book of the Lamb's book of life, from the foundation of the world, seeing the beast that it was a thing and is not, yet now is, past, present, future. Here is the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. That's a clue. Where the woman sits on them. And the kings are seven. Five fell, that is, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. But now Rome is in power at this time. This was written at the end of the first century. I'll say 96 AD. Doesn't matter exactly. But about that time. This is when it was written. And the kings are seven. Five fell. Which ones? Egypt, Assyria, before the exile, and then the last three are of the exile, but not Rome. Rome is in a separate place because Rome, Rome, Rome are 666, the number of man. So 6, 7, and 8 are actually 666, which is the I won't explain it. The five fell, one is, and the other has not yet come. That's the seventh beast, and that will be Constantine. And when he does come, he made it Holy Rome. So now Rome became Holy Rome for 1,000, more than 1,000 years. And the beast which was and is not, even he is the eighth. So the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, that's the ancient devil, Satan, Lucifer, the evil one, etc., etc. The ancient serpent or devil or red dragon. Now, that one himself is saved to the last. So when Jesus comes back, he will overthrow the beast and the false prophet. But he will not overthrow the devil except to move him from power and then stick him in the bottomless pit and cover it on top and on bottom. And after the 1,000 years are up, then that one will then be loosed for a season, number seven up there, or six, right there. Six is after the 1,000 years are ended. After the 1,000 years are ended, he will surround the camp up in the air where you are, where we are. I hope all of you will be there. Please be there. This is why I'm preaching it. That you'll be there and realize, not only did I not take place in the tribulation I was spared from that in a place of refuge like here in Texas. But you don't know what's going to happen during that time because you're rescued away, and then you go straight up into heaven and you never return. You never return. You'll be there with him forever, and he's now judging the whole wicked world, and Satan is left to the last. He's the last one. And when he then is judged, then comes the great white throne judgment, number 7 up there. Number 7 then is where everybody has to give an answer to God. Everybody. And Jesus, as you know, the Bible says this, all judgment has been given to me. So Jesus will be the judge. And here's the one that he judges us according to the gospel, not the law, not the law, not the law of Moses, not the law of Christians, not canon law, not any kind of law. You will be judged by Jesus according to the gospel. That is, your biggest sin now is that you didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and Son of Man, that he would want to marry us forever and ever. So because of unbelief, everyone falls. That's the way the Garden of Eden, Eve ate that apple, and it was unbelief because Adam had told her, don't eat that apple, because in the day you eat of it, we'll die. But she ate of it, and then she handed some to her husband, and he ate of it. So that was a deliberate sin. You don't sin when you have a thought. You don't sin when you have a thought. A thought is not a sin. You don't sin if you have an emotion. There's no sin. It's just an emotion. It's just a thought. But if you let those two rule you, then you make a choice. Will. You voluntarily will to choose something that isn't true. You believe a lie. And so the only thing you need to watch for is not whether your thoughts are this and that. They'll come. They'll come. All kinds of thoughts come into your head, even as Christians. You have thoughts that come into your head that's not of God. But fight against them. They are not from God. But the worst one that is guilty, makes you guilty, you chose it. You chose that voluntarily to go against God, to be God yourself, to play God. As though you were God, you are not God. No one is God. No one is God. No leader is God. No, no. Do not trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Do not trust in princes. Put your trust in the Lord. That's the middle of the Bible. So this is powerful. Sorry I'm not explaining it. I don't want to, but I will. And as you continue, you'll see how these things unfold. Please read your scripture, otherwise it'll make no sense. You'll get mixed up completely. You could read the Bible through and through 50 times. It will not mean anything to you unless you have the key that unlocks that door. So God is now wanting this and spoke to me personally. I want you to share this year. Don't let this year pass. Share this. So I'm sharing exactly. It's not what I had in mind. It's what something else that was in my mind to do. He said, no, do this. Right now is the time. This is the time. 2017. You also don't know this, that this is a year for many who think this is a jubilee year. Right now, this year. And so our going to Uganda, there'll be 10 of us, our going to Uganda is a big issue here. Because Uganda also plays a role in this. The original Garden of Eden was not what you think it is. The original Garden of Eden included this whole Near East section, which is everyone wants the Near East to settle down. It will not settle down until this great tribulation is over and Jesus comes back to set up his inauguration as king of the world. He will be king of heaven and earth. And then from then on, we'll be judging the 12 tribes of Israel underneath us that'll rule from Jerusalem, and all the nations of the world will be brought into that judgment. These are mysteries to you. I'm not saying they're mysteries you can't understand. They're all in the Bible. Now, but if you read Isaiah, if you read, you know, Genesis, I don't care what you read, you'll have questions galore. I want to answer those questions. Please read your Bible. I don't have any power to make you read it. I'm just asking you, please read your Bible. Otherwise, it won't make sense. It'll go out on tape anyway. But this revelation that God gives us is powerful. Why does he give it to me? I don't know. He probably gives it to thousands of others. But whatever it is, it's going to happen whether you know about it or not. It's just happening right now. I don't believe Trump's election was by mistake. I don't believe anything. I believe fully God knows what he's doing. I'm clear that he's not clear on anything that's going on. But he's clear about what he needs to do as one of the presidents, that's influencing things. And right on, just keep doing it. Because he's saying the right words. Whether he follows through or not, I don't know. Whether he's going to get rid of Al-Qaeda and all that, you're not going to get rid of what I'm talking about. The main event today is Jesus, not any of these other things. Politics is not, you don't need to be interested in politics. You don't need to be interested in the economy. You don't need to be interested in jobs, jobs, jobs. You don't need to be interested in anything except Jesus. You are the people of God. You're a new creation. You have to pay attention to what God is about to do. And it's something that is wonderful for you and your family. It's wonderful if you can tell this to your children, because it's too powerful. It's too good news. I mean, there's so much good news here. Last verse. And the beast which was and is not, even he is the eighth, Satan, and is of the seven. In other words, he just, all of that was his deal. And goes to perdition. So every kingdom on earth that has gone against Israel is part of this deal. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom. This was done in the first century. But will receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast at the end of time. Now, these have one mind, and their power and authority they shall give up to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because Jesus is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And the ones with him, you and I, are the called and elect and faithful ones. Now, I'm not going to read the rest. You can read it yourself. But that's all I wanted to say today, is I'm actually just laying an overview so that you can make sense out of everything that I'll be talking about from this moment on. This is so powerful. It's so precious. I'm sober. I'm serious about this. This is God. This is God wanting to have a personal relationship with everyone here. And if you respond to it, let him do it. You don't do it. You don't do it. You didn't create yourself. You didn't recreate yourself. You didn't do anything. You're not able to make yourself righteous. You're not able to perfect yourself. You're not able to do anything. You're the wife. The burden belongs to the man, the husband. It's all on his shoulders. He bears your weight. He doesn't want you. He's not worried about your sins. He died for them. Don't think about those. Don't start with man. You'll end up with man. Start with the Word of God. Have promises. All the Word of God is promises. Everything in the Word is a promise to you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Everything is promise. Even the law is a promise. The day you eat of it, you will die. Jesus died. You didn't die. Jesus died. All the law in the whole Bible belongs to Jesus. He's the one that fulfilled it. He's the one that confirmed it. He's the one that was the witness of the Father's word. Everything about Jesus, he is the only king, the only Lord, the only actor in the universe. And he has life in himself as the Father has life in himself, as the Holy Spirit does too. And they give you then their life. You have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. These are not idle words. So these are powerful words for you. I don't care if anyone believes it. I mean, I'm just going to share it anywhere throughout the world. And if I drop dead, I don't care. Because God has 7,000 others that haven't bent the knee, that want to be holy and righteous and pure. Did I start out this way? No, I didn't. I didn't start out this way. I started out pagan. I started out as a complete blackguard. But God has, over the years, foolishly said, I want you to be a minister. Gosh, that's the last thing in the world I'd want to be. I never sought Christianity. I never wanted to be a Christian. I never wanted to be a hypocrite and a liar like everybody else I saw. I don't want that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe I can be righteous. I don't believe I can be good. I don't believe any of that. But God convinced me. Why? By reading, believing, and now keeping by the power of the Holy Spirit all the words of God. And there's no end to it. This is now, it shouldn't be happen to me. It shouldn't. It should happen to somebody else that's worthier. It's happening to me because it's just written in the book. You just read it. And then faith cometh by hearing. And now you're a new creation. And then you get discipled. And then you become a lover. And Jesus is coming back for us. So I pray someone is blessed today with this message. It's unbelievably exciting because these things have not been preached in truth ever since the beginning because they're right there in the Word. You just didn't read the Word. Reading is the blessing. Believing is the blessing. And then keeping the Word is the blessing. You can't do any of those. God does all those. The one thing you could do is read. You can read without trying to get anything. I need a message tonight. Could you give me something? It doesn't do it that way. You just read it, and it comes alive. You don't make it come alive. He has total control. You can't control God. Give me a revelation. He's not going to give you a revelation. It's all written in His Word. Read the whole Word. Hello? You could say amen because it's truth. But I know it's something you can't do. You can't read it and get something. You read it because He said to. That's the first blessing. Second one, believe. You can't do that. And the third one, keep. You can't do that. You can't do anything. Let Him do it. He's already written everything down. This Word is not going to be expanded. This is the Word. It's the textus receptus. It's the received text that was written in Greek in the New Testament and in Hebrew, the Masoretic text of the Old Testament. And therefore, you have to have a Bible that teaches you that. The NIV and all these modern translations, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. So I would stick with the King James until I don't read the King James, even though I read it. I don't read it. I read the Hebrew and the Greek. Why? Because that's the way it was originally written. And so those words are not something you have. And I have the only copy. There's only about 24 copies in the world. But I have one of them that was originally came at the time of Reformation when Martin Luther had his experience. One of those 12 Bibles came out from the East, the very area that we're talking about. That very area. And it's now the same characters. The Lord is just rearranging the world that it's crazy. But it's in line with God's purposes to bring the Antichrist out of this particular place, Satan out of this place, and the false prophet out of this place to destroy the harlot, which we just read about, and to make a whole new world until she was destroyed. This is part of the mystery Babylon. The spiritual part. They get rid of religion. They don't want religion. Religion stinks. It's nothing to the modern world. And you see it right here in America. You see it right here in Texas. These people flooding across the borders and all this stuff, they are all, you know, into witchcraft. They're all into Satanism. They're all into something else to try to take away our joy. This is the place, if I were Satan, I would concentrate on this place. Try to get it here. But a revival is taking place right now in Dallas, right next door to us. You've heard about it, but it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, hundreds of thousands of people are going around witnessing all the time for 40 days. They're witnessing Jesus Christ in all neighborhoods throughout Dallas. Something is taking place right now to waken you up. And a lot of them are friends of mine, the people that I know. But this is something so powerful, and it was just not born of me. It was not born of anybody. It's born. But when the Lord said, speak, I'm speaking. But it's now up to you to have your own journey with God. Don't rely on Pastor Jim. I am not reliable. Don't rely on anybody. Rely on yourself. Read that word. It's written for you. I exalt my word even above my name. The word is for you. His name is the highest thing in the whole universe. But he exalts his name? No, his word even above his name. Wow, that must be important. That Bible, especially that Bible that I named right there. Wow, you need to read that because all the blood is in there. All the divinity is in there. Everything you need to read, it makes the whole Bible come alive. If you read one of these modern translations, and I know many of you have them, it's okay. They're enough to probably get you born again. But they're not enough to keep you growing. They're not enough to perfect you so that you have a hunger. If you read one word wrong, you're going to get it wrong. You have to understand how these words, the Holy Spirit's using words in English that were written originally in Greek. And we have 50,000 fragments of words and even whole books that make up this scripture. It's powerful. They all agree. This is the text. If you use something else, Vaticanus, Codex Vaticanus, it's no good. These were all things that were rubbish. They were tossed aside. There's three of them, three major ones. And they influence every Bible translation today. I wouldn't read them. Just stick to the one Martin Luther used to create the Reformation. That's the one you want to stick to. That one that was taken right out of Erasmus's 1516 translation or critical text of the Greek language. Anyway, I love you all. God bless you. David, close in prayer.